Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm waking up.
Everybody, this is Liquid Damage at a team of voices with me and Carmine, it says. That's very nice. Welcome to a team of voices radio. Our group is filled with love and respect, and we are so happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and with a offer a variety of programming for your entertainment. We offer an open microphone so you can share your voice with us. There is something different going on with us every single night of the week. You never know what we might have up our sleeves. We have games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, and special events with poetic topics from A to Z. And you are invited to join us for all the fun. Just click on to listen to the live show or to hear any pre-recorded episode. You can also call up to participate. You can find our hosts and hostesses writing over at allpoetry.com and hanging out in the Team of Voices radio group chat room. I want to thank you all for coming tonight. I have a few. I think this is Jay. Is this Miss Jay? 111? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Is this Miss J at 111?
This is Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Here, wait a minute. My screen is doing a small thing, and it won't show the numbers. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. What's your area code?
Should be a 715 code.
715. Okay, because it's not, my screen's not big enough to show it. And 111, who's calling? Huh? Did we get Miss J? Hello, hello. Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. I'm glad you all came tonight. We have a full show. And to start it off, I have a joke. Why did the invisible man turn down the job offer?
I couldn't tell you.
He couldn't see himself doing it. Hey, what's the best way to burn 1,000 calories?
I don't know.
Leave the pizza in the oven.
Ah, see what he
wants. Close. Leave the
leave
pizza in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what does it take to make an octopus laugh?
10 tickles.
Very good. Bravo. Ring, ring, ring. Anyway, if y'all don't know, this is Kay came in. Kay, this is Carmine's here and AP and Dave Prophet. And
hi there.
Someone else
Thank
is
you.
Here. But I don't
I'm
know
here.
Who else is there. Who is that?
Can you hear me? It's repeated.
Yeah.
Neck.
Who?
Repeated neck, Casey. I'm new.
Oh,
so
hi, darling. How are you?
Hello.
I'm so glad you
I'm
made
good.
It.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
I was nervous. I actually called the wrong number, like a bunch of times.
Oh. Did I send it to you wrong?
Yeah, no, you sent it to me right. I just wrote it down a little wrong.
Oh, because I have a habit of mixing numbers up too. So, anyway, somebody else just showed up. Oh, there we go. That must be Mr. Hatter. Hatter's in the house. Hi, Hatter.
I'm just somebody else.
Yeah.
You're incognito, man.
Great. I still can't think who's on 11111. Who's on the international
call? Probably
Rocketeer.
Call? Probably
Could
Rocketeer.
Be Rack.
Rack, is that you? Huh.
Unmuted.
Or it might be Miss J. Okay. Yeah, they're all unmuted. All righty. Well, since we have such a full show tonight, I guess we should get started with some poetry. And yeah. And let's see, does anybody have a qualm about going first?
Not me.
Whatever you want to do.
I think we'll go ahead and pull up Dave Muddy.
Good thing it looks.
So
can
you
putting
do
that, on the board,
AP?
Linda?
What's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I can do that. I'll put his first because he put a poem. And he was saying he put two poems on this week. So
yeah, the one that we're looking for, the one we're looking for is Courage's Greatest Meaning.
Yeah, got it on the board now. Linda, did you want me to read that?
Yes, if you'd like, that would be great.
Okay. Well, this is The Courage, Greatest Meaning by Dave Muddy, and it goes a little bit like this. What does courage mean, I hear you ask, as we consider the Great War? We struggle to find a meaning. There on the hill at Gallipoli, amid the rugged landscape of messages conveyed as we see the bitter conflict, the destruction of mankind's restless soul displayed in the senseless waste. Brave men enter the deathly fray found in the breaking of the new dawn. They did not desire what was found, but willingly they offered their lives and limbs for a young country discovering its way in freedom. Mates laying down their lives in the face of the enemy, the blood, the smell, the horror, the pain and loss surrounds them from every side. There in the midst of all this noise stood a tree, a lone pine, that speaks of pain and death, the Anzacs lost, so it seemed. The Turks victorious, but their offspring are still buried in the ground. What does courage mean, I hear you ask, as we consider those diggers laying down their lives? We start to see great meaning. There on the hill at Calvary, amid the rugged landscape, a message is conveyed. We see his loving suffering, the restoration of mankind's restless soul displayed in living hope. Jesus entered our death for us, the commencing of a new dawn. He did not desire what was found, but not his will, but God's. He offered his life for young and old, realizing for us true freedom. Jesus laying life for his enemies, the blood, the nails, the pain, the crown of thorns, and bring God's pride. There, in the midst of all this noise, stood a tree, a cross that speaks of love and hope, the Messiah lost, so it seemed, but there the story doesn't end, for he has risen from the ground. What does courage mean, I hear you ask, as we consider our blessed Saviour laying down his life? We gain the greatest meaning. End poem.
Beautifully read, AP.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is, David, that was just... let me see, where am I? Just a beautiful, poignant piece. You've depicted courage in such a bold and honest way. As it says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And I totally believe you captured this saying in this deep and loving poem. I think my favorite part of this was verse 6, which if we click back over, let me see. Where did we go? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, yes. There in the midst of all of the noise stood a tree, a lone pine that speaks of pain and death. The Anzacs lost, so it seemed. The Turks victorious, but their offspring are still buried in the ground. And this lone pine is a symbol of pain and death, but also of victory as well. And I, too, wrote a piece for AP, a matter of fact, AP. I wrote a piece on Anzac's Day. And so I got a little bit of the history behind that, and it was nice to see Dave's piece. You know, it's just a symbol of courage where the battle was lost but not the war. That's courage, to go on and still defend your ground. And I want to thank Dave for this very poignant piece and get him some comments. Kay, you're new here with us tonight. Would you like to comment?
I would. That was a very beautiful poem, and I want to thank you so much for sharing that. As a philosopher, these are the questions that I ask all the time and try to find meaning in, meaning behind, and I think this piece really captured that beautifully. So thank you again for sharing that.
Right on. Great comment. I'm sure he would be delighted. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, I really thought that was a great job. I love that poem because it was, the description was very, very poignant, very powerful. right from the very beginning, the very first answer, the senses, the empathy, the destruction, the bravery, war's legacy. I mean, it's hard to describe courage under those circumstances. But also, I really appreciated the correlation of Jesus's impalement, like the soldier's love for the country and his freedom. Jesus gave his life and self-sacrifice out of a love for his Father and also for mankind to be restored. And so when you say courage, casually, courage is love, and love is courage. And I think it really hit me, and I loved it. It's a great job and a great poem.
Right on. Thank you, Carmine. I'm Dave Prophet.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I really like this poem as well. He does a good job of, correlating the first part of the poem with the second half of it. A lot of people have sort of forgotten about Jesus's, his sacrifice for us, for the all mankind, really. And, we need to remember that. And, it says, we also need to understand what courage really means. There's some things of being reckless with your life. That's not really courage. That's just being reckless. And then there's other parts of it where you're subjecting or putting yourself into harm's way to help others. And to me, that's the greatest form of courage that there is. This was a very eloquently written poem, and I really liked it. And I have to say, well done.
Right on, David. Dave Muddy, he's from Australia, and he's a very good writer and quite new to the show. He's been on several times, though, and each time he just blows me away. Let's see, Repeated Knapp, would you like to comment?
I actually agree with you. My favorite line was, there in the midst of all the noise to the tree, alone pine that speaks of pain and death. I thought that was a very beautiful line. And it hits a little bit hard because my twins are getting ready to enlist in the military next year, and it shows courage for them. It's courage and brave, and it's just, I don't know. It hits a little hard, but the poem is definitely breathtakingly beautiful from line to line. It's captivating. I love it.
Right on. We hear you. I could hear the pain in your heart when you were talking about your friends leaving for war. It's got to be a really tough thing being staying behind and watching, the ones you love go off and fight. I'm going to get one more comment here. AP?
Yes. Yeah, look, it's a very familiar story to me, Linda, and probably to most Australians. It was the first time Australia was only created in the year 1900. Before that, it was all separate states. And so when World War I came around, Australia had only been together for less than 20 years. And so it was basically the first time that Australia had sent a force of troops as one new country out into the world, and it was an absolute disaster, but it didn't stop it being something that people could get around and say, well, at least, they didn't take a backward step, and they tried, and they did, but it was a total disaster of a campaign from start to finish, that's a bit like war, but I think what Dave did was take that and then give it a broader meaning, and I think that was the power of the poem.
Right. Yeah, really good poem. Kay, did you bring something with you tonight?
I did. I do have a piece with me tonight, yes.
Right on.
Would you like me to read that now, or?
Do we have a link for you so we can put it up?
I'm not sure. I know, I believe this was the one that you you put up, but I'm not sure if it went through. My first time doing it.
What's your username, Kay?
It should be Kay Dade, and it should be Life's Endearing
yep.
Mortality.
Yep, I've
got
it. I'm copying it on the board now.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yep, got it on the
board. Got it?
Yep, happening.
Awesome.
Yep. Give me one.
Cool. Yep. All right.
Okay.
Then you just let me know when you want me to.
Should be there now on the
okay.
board.
Okay.
If we refresh.
It's on the board. Does everybody see it?
Yes.
I'm assuming so. Okay, anytime you're ready, darling.
All right, thank you. Flaking paint, white on green, eternal stratus whips. Maybe it is all Aperon, still I remain a skeptic. Prove, disprove, repeat. Never any solidarity between us and the world. Never try to understand the complexity of our systems, for upon falsified discoveries, appreciation lacks. Minds will never convince us of what we see before us. No form of material will fully present itself to the eyes of humans. Our world is an illusion in which rationality is non-existent. The rational self is merely a fool who has mastered deception, intrinsic red carpet of life so neatly camouflaged into wonder. Like waves of a hurricane, life smashes and destroys all in its path. The inherent evil that humans possess can't help but aid the engulfment. Arms raised high out of the sinkhole are grabbed by the hand of fate. Taunting many, only few are saved, others subjected to life itself. A racket it may seem, a racket it is indeed. The purpose, not a clue. Ruin results from the mouths of the mighty. The heart's blood seeps through their eyes, blinding ignorance. Life, a question never meant to be answered, only pondered. With eyes scabbed from human deterioration, we live on. Mortality, our only muse, the reason for imagination begins our creation.
Wow. That was just an intricate realm of what life is all about. And jokingly here, but seriously, I say, I think life is all about two chocolate chip cookies and nothing less. Not to put your poem down, but, you know, give me two chocolate chip cookies and my life is okay. But I just think that that's an easy way to put it, but not to be flippish. I truly believe that your poem did this subject well. I did enjoy your poem's proposals. Your poem is well written and sensible. My favorite part says, the rational self is merely a fool who has mastered deception. Because I believe what you said, this, we are all fools in our own right. And well done, piece of poetry, Kay. Well done. Let me get
Thank
you some
you.
Comments. Hatter. Is Hatter muted?
Hatter is muted.
Hello, Hatter. Okay.
No. No Hatter.
Hey, Hatter
Steve,
left
what did
the building,
you think?
Maybe.
Sorry, Linda.
AP, what did you think?
Okay. There's a heck of a lot to think about, and when we talk to businesses these days about what they think about the world, they they basically say, well, there's probably 13 different versions of our world going on at the same time in different ways, shapes, forms, and the more you start to think about that, the more confused you get. And so I have to go back to Monty Python to finish my comment because they seem to have it fairly well worked out, and this is from the Universe song. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth, and pray that there's intelligent life somewhere out in space, because there's bugger all down here on Earth. End comment.
Bravo, AP. No one could have said it better. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, this work is really a philosophical study of life's many, you know, pondering questions, and it has something to think about. I mean, you look at it, you think about it, and in some cases, there's there's opposition to what. Had been said, probably because some people feel that life does have a purpose. And I'll tell you, it's something to think about. She did a very excellent job in expressing her philosophical feelings, which is very much appreciated. But sometimes, as far as the poet is concerned, when he tells or she tells and expresses her feelings, it gives people something to think about. And that's what she said. And she was talking about kind of the darkness of life and the surrounding of that darkness sometimes puts us into a point whereby there's nothing much to live for. So she did a good job on that, and I can appreciate her thinking.
Very good comment, Carmine. And we'll get one more from David.
Well, you know, this could be a segue into immortality, really. I mean, you know, it's a good thing that we don't live forever, because it would take the meaning out of life. I mean, there would be no consequence for anything we've done. There would be no anything that was all the good deeds that we've done would never be rewarded by, you know, one way or the other. And this kind of, you know, this is a dark storyline here, but it's true. And, you know, it just sort of says, well, yeah, you know, if we're going to live forever, then, you know, what's there to look forward to? I mean, except more of the same. And I don't know. I mean, that's what I took away from this poem. I really liked it. I thought it had some really interesting ideas and, you know, and just some really true statements here. So I liked it. I thought it was good. You did good, Kay.
Thank you very much for all your comments. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, right on. Good job. Next, we're going to do Titus. I already pulled him up on the board, AP, so you don't have to do that. But does everybody got it? The link's on the board.
And
I will start the sound.
Linda, just a quick one. Can you refresh your studio? Just refresh that page, because then you'll get Wayne Gent's poem. And I've just heard from Deb, she's got a shocking headache, so she won't be calling in, and she's asked me to read hers. So that just updates.
For some reason, my board isn't showing the start buttons. What happened? Oh, here we go.
Strange.
I've got to move it over.
You got them?
No, I found it.
Yeah, they might have moved over. Yeah.
Let me move it over some more. Nope. It's still not doing it. Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
for Titus. Yep, I got it. There we go.
Fear Batu. She hides ambiguity, logging's quest. It's too long overdue, the smile detests the limelight as if intrigue were to blame. And having to prevent the change of name, reluctance, if you will. Unknown, though taint dries slowly. A request so not too faint, remarkably aloof, the one that way. He chose to stand instead with naught to say. Illusion holds the idea from the art of things derived as though were born apart. To veer away from laughter's half-lit smile. Surrender all you have, yet wait a while. Unable to explain the smile from sad. Exhibits fade from good, but nothing bad.
Hmm. Well, this is just another fine piece of work by Titus. Deciphering the smile that stood for ages, to some sad, to others calming, and yet to others a sensual display. I guess it depends on where you're standing when you look at the beauty of her face. I think this was tastefully done with fine imagery, and I think my favorite part was illusions hold the idea from the art of all things derived as though were born apart. To veer away from laughter's half-lit smile surrenders all you have, yet wait a while. Beautiful, beautiful SoundCloud from Titus. He always picks the nicest music to go with his poetry, and just the whole feel of this, the Mona Lisa, I mean, one of the most famous paintings in the world, I think, besides Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. I think he did a lovely job, and let me get him some comments. Hatter, are you back yet? Nope. Carmine.
Hello, Titus. Says he did it again. I'm telling you, it's very poignant work. The part that I really loved was illusion holds the idea from the art of things derived as though they were born apart. To veer away from laughter's half-lit smile. Surrender all you have. You can't explain the mystery. Nobody can explain the mystery. Leonardo da Vinci of the Renaissance actually worked all his life on this painting, and he used certain specific ways of painting that were new, and it mentions that smile, there's a question of the smile, there's a mystery which cannot be explained, and he does a beautiful job in expressing that the smile is either good or bad. The rhyme, the rhythm was musically perfect. As far as I was concerned, he had perfect pitch, and then the performance was a bravo, all in the spotlight, all in its own. So again, Titus, you live up to your name, you live up to your work, and you always most appreciated, dear friend.
Very nice comment. Okay, we're going to have to cut the comments down a little bit if we're going to get through tonight. So I'm not going to pick everybody at one time, but for right now, Repeated Nap, what did you think of the poem?
I actually listened to the SoundCloud several times. Like you said, the music that he chose to go with, it was very absorbing and it made the poem more intense. Yes, definitely the Mona Lisa is always going to be a mystery, but for me personally, I think she's both sad and happy. Her mouth is, she's smiling, but in her eyes it looks sad, so it's, I don't know, it's always, but Yes, my favorite lines were unable to explain the smile from sad, exhibits fade from good, but nothing bad. I thought that was beautiful. It's great.
Right on. Yeah, very good comment. Very good. And we'll get one more from Kay.
I thought this was a very beautiful piece, read so elegantly, about art and how art has the ability in the eyes of the audience to really affect them. And it's going to be different for everybody, especially with a piece like the Mona Lisa being such an important figure in our history. I just found this piece to capture so many emotions. It was beautiful, beautifully written.
Right on. And next, I put up AP. Are you ready to go, AP?
Certainly. And
right on.
Unusual for me because normally, as you know, I am a rhyming poet, and this is in free verse. Go figure. This is an incoming grade.
Oh.
And goes
okay,
a little bit like this.
It.
Weather appears here from the southwest, having traversed fierce Arctic swells in the shallow bay, taking the banks of clouds which have lazily gathered and dividing them into small cups, leaving strings behind that show what has passed and the essence of what may be. As the breeze gathers into the midday sun, winds behind push an expanse of showers in the distance, and above white skitters for shelter from incoming graves. In pomp.
Wow. That was really pretty. And I like that you didn't rhyme it. And to associate the clouds with like the essence of time is a beautiful thing. I think the imagery in this was quite lovely, taking the banks of clouds which have lazily gathered and dividing them into small cups. That is so pretty. And I'm assuming, AP, is this a picture from you or no?
It is, yeah. No, a picture from me from this morning, from up at the sky. Yeah.
That is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I think you did a stellar job on this poem, AP. Let me get you some comments. David.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was really good. I think you did a really good job in free verse here, AP. Not too bad at all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful picture that you took, too, by the way. I love clouds. When I was flying hang gliders, I used to look up in the air all the time to see what was going on in the air because they're a good tattletale about what the conditions are.
Yes.
And, you know, you really described that well in your poem here. It's a beautiful piece. And, you know, I like the last line here. It says, and above white skitters for shelters from incoming grays. Yeah. We want to keep those grays back away from us a little while. So anyway, this was really cool. I liked it. Well done.
Thank you.
Right on, David. Let's see. Is Hatter back yet? Hatter, are you going to unmute yourself? Okay. Kay.
Yes, this is a beautiful free verse piece of poetry here. And as said before, the clouds and time, so symbolic of our everyday life, things that we see every day, that we go through every day, to be captured in such a lovely way. I think this was beautifully done. Great job.
Thank you.
Right on. Carmine.
Well, I would have to agree with everyone in respect to what, you know, they've been saying about his work. I really feel that it has a, you know, it has a poignant meaning. And as far as the meaning is concerned, of course, you know, you really look at life in various shades. And what he's saying over here kind of penetrates your thinking to the point where, you say, I got news for you. It's going to be a change, or it's not going to be a change. And so I really loved his work, and I really feel he did a great job.
Thank you, Kamal.
Cool. Thank you very much. And one more. Repeated nap. Are you on mute, repeated nap? Oh, did we lose her? Huh. Okay. Well, I guess we will hammer on. Let me see. Why don't we do Frank next, or Laurent Montaner?
Yes. I'll put that up on the board, and it's got a SoundCloud too. Linda, would you
yes,
produce?
I'll do the SoundCloud. Matter
okay,
of fact,
brilliant.
It's number one. Is
there
everybody
you go,
ready?
You know, what's the name of it, Linda?
One tick, and I'll put it up on the board. Linda, one tick. Oh, you've got it. It's up there now.
Illusions of Time.
Okay.
All righty. Are we ready?
Yes.
You're ready.
Here we go.
Part, all from a myriad of thoughts from my brain manifest. Within the fleeting passages of the flowing ripples of endless time, forming into the crystal cubes of my drear and forsaken isolation, a prisoner of the metallic twirling circle of solid and oval despair. I plunge deeper into the abyss of a piercing madness engraved. The haunting hands of the mechanical clock tick-tock. A such a sonorous sound clanging in my little head then, and I hear the noise drowning me in the mosaic pit of eternal echoes. I am trapped inside the sloping crenellated outer walls of my pain, complete with the copper eyelids of the broad barriers to my escape. I can see the solid images of the dead floating into a timeless space as I observe the visible faces of the souls of the daunting past. Soon my silent screams burst through the frame of the clock, shattering the old glass and the curved edges of the dented prison like a full force of a sonic bang of such an exploding darkness, tumbling the cracked walls of my subconscious realm. Bubbles of my liquid breath become vapors of marbles, shouting to the outside world the clamor of my liberation. I am free at last, free at last. But the world outside is nothing more than the hollow and hoary demons worse than mine. When shall I be rid of my demons? Why am I trapped in the illusions of time? What if time was nothing more than a mere illusion itself? Could it be thus that I am dreaming? Am I part of a revolving matrix? Whatever my fate be to my existence, I shall either be a memory or a life form. Yes. Yes. I am life. I am life.
Wow, Frank, this one is a real thinker. It takes the reader down into an abyss of time. This is very cool, and the way you read this is purely genius. The chaos over between the spirit, the crossover between the spirit and insanity wanes over us all the time, if it is not an illusion. But if it is, it can be anything it wants to be. My favorite part is down at the last verse. When shall I be rid of my demons? Why am I trapped in the illusion of time? What if time was nothing more than a mere illusion itself? Could it be thus that I am dreaming, or am I a part of its revolving matrix? Whatever may be fate be to my existence, I shall either be a memory or a life form. Very, very cool. And a question, what if is the question? A conundrum that can pickle the brain. Better off sitting back with a cookie or two, I always say. So wonderfully done. And Frank, remember, you are my sergeant of scary, my deputy of doom and despair, and my master of the macabre. Thank you very much for sending this piece over tonight. And I will get David to comment first here.
Well, this was an interesting storyline in this poem. I am a big fan of of the universe, and Albert Einstein gave us all something to think about when he incorporated time into, space, and it's called space-time. And we each of us operate on just a little different island of time. My time, right next to my friend that would be standing right next to me, those are two time frames are a little bit different, not so that you'd notice because the scale is so small. It's clear down in the microseconds or sometimes even in Planck time. But this was interesting because he made it scary. And, of course, we all know the way Frank reads anyway. So when he put it all together, it made an interesting poem, and I liked it.
Right. Kay, what did you think?
I thought this was another excellent piece. As you mentioned about time, sort of a philosophical work, I guess, if you will. Why are we trapped in this illusion of time? What is time? Who made up time? It all ties into motion and relational bodies, us being in contact with one another, spending time with one another. I think it leaves you with these questions that are unanswered that take so much power to try and figure out and decipher. Wonderfully done.
Right on. Good comment. AP.
Yeah, well, I actually really like the second last stanza when he talked about I am free at last, free at last. And, of course, I then think back to the great speech by Martin Luther King, which is where he finished that speech, that being free at last. And I thought it was a really interesting way to sort of bring in another perspective to the world of time and meaning, and so were his questions in the last stanza. So really interesting work, Frank. I really liked it.
Right on. Let's see. We did Carmine, did you comment yet?
No, my dear. But I,
no,
I,
why don't
I did
you go
find
ahead
the
and
word
comment.
Very interesting. It's okay? All right.
Yeah.
It was an excellent job. I mean, a very powerful work. And I feel that the illusion of time was his searching for himself to find the meaning of life. And really, as was mentioned, it is a philosophical work about the reality of time and also life. But the last line, I think, as you have mentioned and the others have, is, I shall either be a memory or a form of life. And then he also answers that by saying, yes, I am life. So that's a very powerful statement. As I mentioned, he did an excellent job, as he always does. So, you know, we've got to give him much credit.
Right on. Okay. I put up the next two, AP. I put Carmine next, and then I'll go.
Yep. Perfect.
And then we'll
okay.
do repeated nap. That's what we'll do. So, Carmine, you're all on the board and ready to go.
All right.
Dizzy Izzy.
Okay. Yeah, Dizzy Izzy. Dizzy Izzy was always busy being the clown of his town. Curly haired, wired red, his long puffy nose had a dark, ugly wart the size of his toes. Ridiculed and called a fool, he had no friends to play. Along the world, to him was cruel, being mocked every day. Clever? No. But like a hound, he heard the slightest sound. One day, a violent storm arrived with whirling winds, but all survived, except little Lila, who went astray. The folks all heard the awful news and gathered groups to find little Lila, while Dizzy Izzy, the clown, was left behind. But by heading north, a woody, muddy hat soon became a clue. Sparked, old Izzy tapped his ears and knew just what to do. Lila! Lila! Shouted he. To find her whereabout, silence broke, then suddenly a child's voice cried out. Lying near an old tree, crying, scratched alone, Izzy hugged, grabbed her tight, then carried her back home. Tears of joy for Mom and Dad, while all the folks rang out. Without a doubt, the lowly one, buffoon, the ugly clown, Dizzy Izzy proved to be the hero of his town. Judge not, or you'll be judged, to each his own, and cursed be the one who mocks from his heart of stone.
Very nice, Carmine. Wow. This is a wonderful poem. A wonderful storytelling that you did, too, to teach us love comes in all colors and shapes. Dizzy Izzy keeps his faith and in the end saves a child's life with it. Now who's the hero? After being shunned and turned away from, you know, all his life because he was a clown, didn't make him angry. And you show this that we don't have to use our anger, just keep the faith. And my favorite part is down here in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Layla Layla shouted he to find her whereabout. Silence broke, then suddenly a childish voice cried out. That is so chilling. But and your rhyming in this is fantastic, Carmine. You should be proud of this story as it tells a beautiful tale of love. Thank you, my dear friend. Let's see. Do we still have repeated repeated nap? Would you like to comment?
Yeah, I loved this poem and the message that it gives to others. Pretty much never judge a book by its cover. It has amazing imagery, and I do love the rhyming. It's great rhyming. I love the story. Good job.
Cool.
Say, like,
AP.
Linda, did you say me?
Yes, I did, darling.
Okie doke. Well, I think it's really cool because there's not a lot of poems or stories written these days in the form of allegories, which is where there's a story but a deeper meaning that sits below that story. And this is clearly for me an example of an allegorical poem where we're trying to get across a more deeper meaning about the world and how it works and what's been happening in that world. So I really like it. I think it works as a story and it works as an allegory, and it's it was beautifully rhymed.
Thank you.
Right on. Okay.
Excellent job here, Carmine. This was beautiful. I really, really appreciated how you took something that someone will often judge and you flipped that around and created this beautiful piece of poetry. As said before, to not judge a book by its cover, I think that was very apparent here. You used excellent rhyming patterns, excellent words here to portray that. So I just want to thank you for sharing this piece. It was lovely.
Thank you, my dear.
Cool.
Well, you know, being a teacher for 42 years, being a teacher, I had seen many, many, many of my wonderful students being bullied by people who had no heart. And that reminded me. And many of the illustrations that are even on the news today touched my heart. And so old Dizzy Izzy came to life, and I want to thank you for your wonderful comments. Very encouraging and most appreciated.
Very nice. I didn't know you were a teacher for 40 years. That's amazing.
You know, I taught language art. I taught dramas. I taught special education for 13 years for teenage pregnant mamas. And it was a most experience that I appreciated. And I saved, to be honest with you, my dear, I saved quite a few lives.
Well, right on. Right on. Well, going on, I got mine up next. And it should already be up there.
It is.
Yep.
Okay. Now let me get it. Where are you at? Where are you at? There we are. Okay, I'm pushing the wrong buttons here. One day I'll learn my right from my left and everything will be fine. This poem is called Love Soup. I'm sure some of you have heard it before. But it goes like this. In the midst of the forest, there was a large stream. On one side I lived, the other a dream. There were lilies and jasmine all smelling so sweet, and luscious raspberries, a good forest treat. Now over the stream where the daffodils grow is a cool little bridge where the water flows slow. Fuchsias and ferns grow all around, while clover and moss cover the ground. The beauty that grew there was really so great, but under the bridge lived an ogre named Hate. Now, Hate had decided the bridge was all his, and why we weren't welcome was none of our biz. So he had a sign that read, "All yous keep out, and if you come near," he would scream and he'd shout. He'd shout, "If I catch you, you'll wish you were dead, because I'll pull your eyes right out of your head." So Haight spent his days spewing his gripe, and some, I recall, believed in his hype. It seemed like the florist was growing quite dark because of that Haight, whose tongue was quite sharp. Then came the day when Haight got real sick. His temperature spiked, and his tongue grew quite thick. He coughed all the while, and his nose oozed out snot, and he had a bad rash, and he farted a lot. This made Haight sad, and he started to cry. Then he got scared that soon he would die. Now this is the part where the story gets good. Where I'll get my dream if I do what I should. So then my heart said to cure Haight, give him love. So I sat and I prayed to my God up above. Please, dear Lord, won't you give me a sign if the duty to cure Haight is really all mine? And the Lord said to me, child, the duty is yours, but all who are near must open their doors. Let your heart lead and give Haight your love. Then singing rang out from the angels above. So I brought Haight love soup, which he slurped right on down, then gave him some aspirin he took with a frown. Why do you help me? I'm Haight. I am mean. I'm the baddest ogre you've ever seen. Well, I have some love that I wanted to give to help you feel better so better you'll live. And with that, the ogre started to shout, but only the sound of love would come out. So from then on, Haight was taken with love, and now they both pray to their God up above. The moral, when Haight rules the bridge that leads to your dream, give love a try and conquer your stream. In poem. Okay, who wants to take that one?
Well, there's a number of people laughing. Maybe David should go first.
Right, right. What did you think, David?
Oh, I like this a lot, Linda. I've heard it before, and I said in my previous comment, I said, great storyline here, made me laugh. Great rhyming meter. You're always really good at rhyming, I'm not. This was really interesting. You set the story up real well. The storyline, speaks to the picture, the banner picture you have really well. And there's a moral to this whole story. And, some people don't have decent manners, or they're hateful, doesn't mean that we should answer back to them with the same, a great way to defuse a bad situation is just with kindness,
That's
right. It's pretty hard to be bad, or ornery with someone when they're reflecting you back with nothing but goodwill, So I liked it.
Right on. AP. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Well, it's fun, Linda, and the first stanza's lovely, beautifully, but there's a sort of almost a silliness to it, which I really like, and it actually reminded me of Monty Python, which is high praise for me, and where they actually had this Frenchman in a castle, and King Arthur and his people were being so lovely and formal in English, and he came back and basically said, I'll fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and
right.
Your father smelled of elderberry. Yeah, it's just like that.
One of my favorite movies.
It just had that beautiful sense of sort of silliness and fun, and I loved it a lot.
Thank you, AP. Kay.
Yeah, great job here, Linda. This is excellent. I loved how you took this beautiful scene in the beginning. You introduced hate, and all it took was some love to change that. And like it was said before, sometimes that's all people need. And maybe they've never felt that before.
Right.
And so to offer that to someone, it really can change their life. And Carmine saying he's been a teacher for 42 years, I think you said. I'm sure you've seen that multiple times, many times over. So you've captured something really beautiful here, and I thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, all it takes is a cup of love soup and two chocolate chip cookies. repeated nap, what did you think?
I love the moral of the story. Love will always outshine hate, especially when you have, like, a lot of people who love just that one person who holds so much hate. You just show them how much you love them, that eventually, it'll set in, and it'll be like, oh, wow, these people really do love me, and you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I loved it. I loved the story. I loved the funny parts, especially the farting. That's great. Great story. Great.
Thank you so much. So next we're going to do yours. I did not grab that one yet. You want to grab that, AP?
Yeah.
You are the bomb.
Yeah. You wouldn't think so, the way that my phone's going at the minute, but here we go. Okie doke. Should be there. Now.
There we go.
How do I go now?
You can start anytime you'd like.
Okay, this is called Three Magic Souls. Lost in deep thought, perpetual dark abyss, no smile nor laughter, only gloom and departure. They were there with magic. As if throwing a rope into the black emptiness, I take hold, willing myself to climb for my beautiful soul, saving my life with only eyes that smile, voices of heavenly souls sing, pulling at my heartstrings, butterflies fluttering, causing beams of delight ear to ear, three majestic faces come into view, rejoice with laughter, seen follow after, the magic in their words and hearts, made a gloomy, ominous day turn sunny rays, misty rain, a double rainbow. No amount of words could ever say how much my soul bleeds love. First true love is what I can never get enough of, my children. And Paul.
Oh, my goodness. That just makes my heart putter. You know, it's like, what a beautiful, heartfelt story this is. And yeah, depression is a nasty word, and it's affecting some 20% of adults, and that's astounding. Your story holds the truth about it and how to get out of a depressive state. My favorite part was verse 5 and verse 6, three majestic faces come into view, rejoice of laughter, soon follow after, the magic in their words and hearts. Made a gloomy, ominous day turn, sunny rays, misty rain, a double rainbow. There's no more beautiful way to go than three majestic faces. I think it is so beautiful that your lovely children could bring you out of a depressive state. The laughter of a child is the most soothing thing of all and can be a double rainbow. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. It was a beautiful one. Let me get you some more comments. AP.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I never sort of got this until a few years ago when I had a very good young friend struggling terribly with her health, and she was doing horrible things in hospital and secured, and she got out a couple of times, and then she fell pregnant, and they secured her there, and then she had a child, and all of a sudden things changed. Her perspective changed, her world changed, the way she went about things changed, and there was just something incredibly powerful about that child that acted as her her center in life, and now she's about to have another one. Her second is due in
Oh, wow.
4 weeks. And she's such a wonderful mother and a fantastic mother, and it's just been a joy seeing her grow into that with this amazing love that she has for this first child, and I know she has for second. And there's something really special about seeing that, and it's a beautiful part of the world, and I'm so glad you found that.
Nice. Carmine.
Well, let me tell you one thing. That last line, first true love is what I can never get enough of, my children, and it's precious. It's precious. The expressions of her poem were actually beautiful. And I know what she's talking about, because at 92 years old, I've had children, and now I've had grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchild. These are life's treasures, and they are the ones that really fulfill our lives in every aspect. And as far as the downs are concerned, they don't live in the downs. They live in the ups. So whenever anything happens, no matter what it is, you'll find them playing. You'll find them laughing. And that is a perfect thing that we have to look to the little ones. Because really, I think they have the answer to life. And what she has said there was realistic and powerful. A beautiful job and very touching. And it really did a lot for me in the meditative thought. Beautiful, my dear. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you for your commenting. 92?
Right on.
Did you say you were
92? Yes, we did.
Wow.
Okay, Kay, what did you... Hey, Carmine, can I ask you to back off the microphone just a tad? We're hearing your breath on the microphone.
Yes, I know. I breathe very heavy.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, beloved, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about it. No worries, mate. Okay, Kay, what did you think?
Yeah, thank you for sharing this. This was lovely about your own personal journey and for sharing that. That was very brave of you. And I find that children really understand. They live in a moment where they have imagination, they question, they're curious. And I really hope that children now are encouraged to do that more, that they don't lose that, because as adults we tend to get so lost in this false reality, and sometimes I think we need to see a child laughing and playing to remind us that that is okay, that we can do that, and that helps us pull us out of these depressive episodes that we have. And I'm so glad that you were able to find that and experience that. So thank you for sharing.
Right on. All right, Dave, why don't you comment and then we'll put your poem up on the board.
Okay. I went through a period in my life where I had a lot of pretty bad depression. Fortunately, I was had enough insight to go to the doctor and ask him what was wrong with me, and he told me just exactly what I thought I had. I don't have any kids, never had any, but my dogs have always sort of filled in that niche, I guess. You know, I'm not saying that dogs take the place of children. That's not what I'm getting at. But, you know, anything that can make you laugh, that you're fond of, that's dear to your heart, is good antidote for depression. And I love the way this was worded. It's beautiful. And it reminded me all over again of that time in my life when there was a lot of darkness hanging around. So I'd have to say really, really well written here. Nice job.
Yes. Okay. Did we grab David's poem?
David's poem? AP? Yeah, we can do that. Just one take.
What's the title, Linda?
Morning schoolgirl.
Yeah, I wasn't sure when I read that title if this was material for our show, David. I wanted you to know. But after I read it,
yeah,
I was, no. that was silly. I know David better than that.
Well, you know this gentleman named Taj Mahal? He did a song by this very name. It says, "Good morning, little schoolgirl."
Right,
anyway.
Right.
All that for you, Dave.
Huh?
It's there on the board.
Okay. Anyway, when I was over in Korea, I was stationed about 40 air miles away from the demilitarized zone, and in South Korea, I was in a village called Tongbucheon, and I was all over Korea. I just fell in love with that country and her people. They're marvelous people, absolutely marvelous. Anyway, this is called "Good Morning, Little Schoolgirls." Spring morning in South Korea, just a touch south of the DMZ, warm and clear. I'm going to work in the back of the chow truck, up to the tack site on some remote mountain a long ways away. Takes about an hour to get there. We're driving up the MSR, footprints of tracked vehicles on the sides of the dirt road, hard packed and dry. Coming up around this corner, a giant statue of Buddha sits out in the middle of a rice paddy, big as day, big as a house. Papasans with their stovepipe hats and white PJs tending to it, lighting incense sticks and showing toothless smiles to those smart enough to look. Up ahead, a column of little schoolgirls all in single file walking to school. No school buses for them, just their own two legs. Dressed in blue pinafore dresses with white tops and braided black hair down to the middle of their backs, glistening in the morning sun. If ever there was a picture of cuteness, this is it, because I never did see anything like this before. They's waving at us and laughing. "Hey, G.I.," high-pitched low voices over the roar of a diesel deuce and a half. Still, you could hear them. I stood up and waved back at them. So did the guys that I was friends with in the battery, those with bad attitudes I never talked with much. Waving back at them produced squeals and jumping up and down just to see that they elicited a reaction from us. 6 and 7-year-olds, I reckon, just the definition of cuteness. You couldn't help but love them. And if and you didn't, there's something wrong with you. A mama-san with a walking stick on the edge of the road, keeping them all single file and off the road. She didn't look at us. She didn't smile. Probably had her own ideas about Americans in her country. Most Koreans didn't care who was running their show. I walked to the back of the truck, tarp rolled back as I was hanging onto one of the ribs of it, still waving to my schoolgirls. They still waving back at me. Best part of my day till it was done. Next day I got to see them all over again, and that was the best part of that day and every day thereafter. End poem.
Oh, David, that was adorable. You know, with all that was going on around you guys, that you could still find cuteness among you. My favorite part was verse 12, and what I did. Oh, here it is. 6 and 7-year-olds, I reckon, just the definition of cuteness. You couldn't help but love them. And if and you didn't, there's something wrong with you. And, yeah, that's, you know, the epitome of just lovely, beautiful, pure imagination, I guess, is what I'm looking for. If you can't find beauty in something so simple and pure, then there's something wrong with you. Let me see. I think you portrayed a moment in time with grace and beauty. You did. You wrote this very tastefully. And I want to thank you for this, Dave. It's something that we don't get to hear about, these parts of war, you know, these parts of being in the service. And it's great to be able to know a little bit more about it. But I want to thank you, and I loved it. I really did. Let me get you
thank
some
you.
Carmine.
Well, Dave, I want to tell you one thing. The innocence and the, should I say, humility of the youngsters was warm and expressing really that there is the real bridge of harmony and happiness. And I got news for you. You just portrayed that beautiful. To me, that's where love lives. And when love lives in your heart, as was even in the innocence of those children, you partook it, you appreciated it, you longed for it. And in doing so, you wanted it to the point where it made not only a day, but also even now, as you express the feeling probably years later. So you can't imagine how those little ones impacted not only your day, but also your life, and also your writing. So thank you for your wonderful contribution to Linda's most inspiring show.
Thank you, Carmine.
Thanks, Carmine. Repeated nap, what did you think?
I like the imagery that you said, and the story is, okay, I can't hear. I'm echoing. Okay,
Are you there? Uh-oh. Repeat it now. Are you there? Yeah, you're breaking up. Can everybody else hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
I can.
I can, okay. Yes.
Okay, well, let's give her a minute. Kay, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a beautiful, beautiful work here. I really thought it was an interesting perspective and a lovely one. Not only did that impact of these youngsters have such a heavy influence on you and your day, but I also think about how you wrote how they were so excited to see you and how much of an impact you'd have had on their day. And I think this is a very mutual experience, one that may often be taken for granted or not recognized as often as we might hope for. So I want to say thank you for sharing that and for bringing that into light for us.
Well, thank you very much.
Let's see, AP, you haven't chimed in yet.
No, I mean, I really liked, I've been a couple of poems now and pieces from Dave from his time in Korea, and both of them have been what he learned from being there, and both of them have been what he observed of the culture. And there's an absolute respect for what he was seeing and what he was viewing, and that respect of the local people is just so there when you're sitting there going through an experience like I'm sure he was in the middle of a war, and you know, I just have a great, you know, I just think it's wonderful that you see that respect and you see that inquisitiveness, and it's beautifully written.
Thank you, AP. I appreciate it.
All right, on repeated nap, are you back? Huh. Okay, well, moving on. Do you want to run down the hall and grab Wayne's, or do you want me to run down the hall and grab Wayne's?
I can grab it, Linda. Just one tick, and I will...
As he goes running down the hall?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm sprinting down. I think he's just the second last one.
Don't trip over that book.
No. I've had enough trouble doing things, and, you know, I don't really want to go and injure myself anymore. If I could. But, yes. So Wayne's Palm's on the board.
Okay.
Linda, I'm going to have to go.
All right, sweetheart, I want to thank you so much for coming. And,
sure.
And while we're at it, I should probably say thank yous to everybody else. Titus, Frank, Phil, Heavenly Angel, Dave Muddy, AP, thank you very much. Carmine, David, Kay, Repeated Nap, Hatter, who disappeared, Titus, oh, I think I said Titus, Wayne, Phil, and Heaven, oh, I said Heavenly Angel, too. Okay, got them on there twice. Thank you, everybody, for joining me tonight. It's a wonderful show, and I've been told that Wayne is on the board. Let me get over there. Because I haven't heard Wayne's yet. Oh, okay. All righty. Oh, he's got a SoundCloud. Wait a minute.
Yeah, you should be at the top, Linda.
I got it.
You got it?
Yep. There we go.
This is called Death and Drought Dance. Oh, they say she died one winter. Think there came a killing frost. She'd become much thistle thinner. Oh, how much the chips of barren land cost. Blackbirds shout for rain waters to flood fields, where clover, dandelion, and dill were yields. Where rattle, raccoon, bullfrogs brood dotted patches, while sparrow, peacock, and bluebird eggs hatches. Produce penny pickles and pimento peppers before drought. Plant a perfume paprika and grew kite cabbage for kraut. Serve farmers pork hot dogs with cranberry tea for drinking. Sipped strawberry sangria wine at station store while thinking. No bouquets of blooming blossoms surround with chestnut cracked canopy licking ground. And wind weeps as walrus wheat wither. Sycamore, cedar, and redwood hath hither and thither. Goldenrod sunbeams pound home and hill. Purple striped earthworms and magnolia moss did kill. Ebony gray container clouds carry honeydew hope. Floating plump fountains sprinkles of serrated soil slope.
Ha! Wayne, it's beautiful. First, I love your alliteration here in let me see, the third verse, which is my favorite verse. Produce penny pickles and pimento peppers before drought. Planted perfume paprika grew like cabbage for kraut. Served farmers pork hot dogs with cranberry tea for drinking. Sipped strawberry sangria wine at station store while thinking. Just wonderful. This is another of Wayne's masterpiece, genius pieces of art that starts out just so sad with the music. It's just so sad. And then as it goes along, you see how through drought comes rebirth, and the crops are growing and everything's good. But Wayne has just got a wonderful sense of humor, and he's at alliteration, he's probably the best there is, as far as I know. Although I'm catching up on him. Let me give you some more comments, Wayne. AP.
Yes. Wasn't that a fun piece of writing? You're right, it did start with lots of minor chords there, and I was thinking, shit, this is going to be, you know, where's this going to go? But he just went with his amazing use of language. His assonance of the word that he used, and just turned into a great piece. And I love it when Wayne reads his own pieces.
Yes, I concur, Doctor. I'm Carmine.
Well, I love the mood of the work, and I mean, really, as you mentioned, there was a the change of situation that took place, and the piano behind it was a very good selection of musical, should I say, accompaniment in order to enhance the words, the picturesque words. So he, as you mentioned, he did an excellent job. And I really appreciate it.
Right on. David left us. Kay left us. Repeated nap, what did you think? Oh, she's dropped as well.
Yeah, she did say she's really struggling with her phone and being able to get
to
hear her. Linda. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's the three of us.
Yep.
So next we'll do, I had Phil up in line.
Yes. And he's got a SoundCloud, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Well, let me grab Phil's poem, and then I'll get you to hit the SoundCloud button, and we should be pretty right. So let me just be 2-6. You see, I'm double-tasking, Linda. I've got another picture going on, so that's why I'm a bit slow.
Oh, pretty.
It's quite colourful.
That's very pretty.
What's the title of the poem, my dear?
Doppelganger.
I've just put it up on the board. It's called Doppelganger by Phil the Poet, and it just hit the board then.
You got it, Carmine?
Not really. What was the title again? My ears are not that great.
Doppelganger. Yeah,
Doppelganger.
By Phil the Poet.
Let it go. I'll get it. I'll get it.
Okay, it'll come. Yep.
Orders from headquarters.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Doppelganger. I met my doppelganger the other day, and he looked like me in every way. It was like looking at reflection, but something caught my attention. he was covered in tattoos, and what made me paler was that he was pink and cursed like a sailor. He pointed at me with fingers covered in nicotine, making lewd gestures that were quite obscene. He smiled with teeth like Shane McGowan, with breath that would turn you green and make you wretch. But in his eyes I saw the hurt he could not hide, and realized that it was me deep inside. He spat in my face when he recognized who I was. He punched and kicked, but it never did hurt, because the silly drunken fool had picked a fight with a mirror until he stopped as his mind got clearer. And what he saw made him jump back in fright. He rubbed his eyes, he couldn't believe his sight. He stared and smiled in a docile manner as he shook hands with his doppelganger and poem.
Well, this is really awesome storytelling, Phil. Your idea for this is unique. Your ganger met his ganger, which would be a double doppelganger, I guess, but an interesting twist in the story. My favorite part was the last verse. Let me get over there. Flipping pages. And what he saw made him jump back in fright. He rubbed his eyes. He couldn't believe his sight. He stared and smiled in a docile manner as he shook hands with his doppelganger. I think this is so well rhymed, number one, but it's just his sight. You know, the whole thing is just so cool, and I think we all need to see our doppelgangers. The imagery in this was vivid and tight. Phil, great work. And I want to tell Phil something. Phil, if you're out there listening, I want to thank you for always, always telling me to have a good show. That really means a lot to me. And I just wanted you to know that. So thank you, Phil. AP.
Well, I always like Phil's descriptions, and this is back an older poem from a few years ago. But I love he smiled with teeth like Shane McGowan with breath. You know immediately what you're seeing, you see. And so it's descriptive, but it's quite individualistic, and it's meaningful. So I love Phil's descriptions. He's always got great rhyme, but I love his descriptions.
Right on. And Carmine.
He always does a wonderful job. I mean, the expressions that he has and the flow of the words, it's very rhythmic. And that you have to appreciate in respect to a writer. When you said what you had said, Linda, is the voice for all of us. And that writer right there, when he contributes, he does an excellent job. And so we have to give him a lot of credit. And that's exactly what we do in respect to this work.
Right on. Right on. I wish we could have more comments for him, but we just ran out of people. But Phil, that was a really cool poem, and your rhyming is getting just better and better. I thought it flowed so nicely through this one. So next, I think we'll put up Pee-wee.
Yeah.
You want to run down the hall? There we go.
Yep.
My
yeah,
back's hurting.
Time.
I can't run.
No, that's okay. We can do that. So now, we don't have a SoundCloud for this one, do we?
I don't think so.
So are you happy for me to read, Linda?
Yes, I would love for you to read.
Okie doke. Well, this is Trying Times by Pee-wee Kirsten, and it goes a little bit like this.
Okay, wait.
I'm waiting.
Let me get there. Trying times. There we go.
And I'll just read the author's note. I'm not going to F you completely, but happy Valentine's Day. Love yourself, everyone. And then if you look good, send videos to me. Message for me. See your mail or address. There you go. Good to have it out there, Linda. Trying times. Goes a bit like this. Enraptured, then shattered, after nothing matters. Tattered and battered, memories on a platter. Romance, heaven sent, bent when it went. Intent, vent, tepid stench of your descent. You broke me, don't you see? Broke feeble me completely. Now I'll just be and bleed. Seems clean through reality. Days I tried fine lying. Nights trying inside. Blue, it's true, but for who do I rue? I rue you. You see, broken completely, bleeding me to finally see the only thing you'll ever be, another misspent memory. Trying times, I still find pieces of you on my mind, but when I try sometimes, finding you not there to find. In poem.
Wow. This emitted the most raw emotional imagery to me. I'm so honest. It shook the house, Pee-wee. Thank you for this awesome piece. My favorite part was the last verse. Trying times, I still find pieces of you on my mind, but when I try sometimes, finding you not there to find. That is such an interesting way to word that. You have such an honest soul, Pee-wee, and I so enjoy reading your art. The artistic flow of this piece, the rhyming scheme of it is so melodic that, yeah, I could see this being a song. You are definitely a master poet, Pee-wee. Thank you for sending this piece over. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, trying times are not easy to live with. And they are especially depressing when love rejects, when love is unfaithful. The heart being very fragile in many cases needs a healing. And that healing happens when something takes the place of what was lost. So the first time and the last thing on my mind would be good for him, but in that case it didn't happen. If a door closes and, should I say, a window opens, then, you know, he's blessed. I love the rhyme, I love his expressions, and I loved his intense emotion. Pee-wee did a great job, and I really appreciated it. Thank you, Pee-wee.
Right on. AP.
Well, I mean, I think for me, it clearly, I was reading it, of course, and it was a powerful poem, and you could tell that he was still working his way through things by what was in the author's note. It certainly was a powerful piece, and it certainly gave you a sense of hurt and damage, and I just trust that... that's healing up.
Right on. Yeah, this is a really, it's almost like an angry love, a hurting love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
And it really vibed those emotions across the page. I don't know, but
yeah.
It got me. Okay, let's grab Heavenly Angels.
Yes. And are you going to read this one, Linda, or?
Yeah, I'll read this one. I think it's the same one we did
cool.
last week, but I think it didn't get heard. It was off the timer, so she wanted to do it again.
Of course. Yeah, no, absolutely. All yours. It's up on the board now, Linda.
Okay, let me... Still figuring out how to use a computer.
It's okay.
There we go.
I've got a joke while it's coming up, Linda, if you like.
Okay. Go ahead, tell your joke.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, it's only a short one. I met a bloke from Australia who worked in IT. I asked him, do you come from a land down under? IT joke.
Okay. I got that one.
Thank you.
Okay. Breakfast in Bed by Heavenly Angel. Oh, this is hard to read. Sunday morning dawns in shades of tangerine rust and plum. I sleepily sit up in our four-poster bed, trying to gain focus and clarity. I reach towards you, but find you're not there. Sheets are crumpled, but still warm from your heat. The bedroom door opens, and you enter, carrying a tray and smiling, that smile that melts my heart. Breakfast in bed, babe, that's all you say, and lift the towel, keeping it warm. Coffee, orange juice, crispy bacon, two blueberry pancakes and melted butter, and a dollop of whipped cream. Breakfast in bed, maybe we'll have lunch and dinner here as well, in poem. And I love this one. This was so sweet because I feel that breakfast in bed is one of the biggest forms of showing love that you can for somebody, is bringing them breakfast in bed. And it should be done more. I should do that more for my husband, I know. But with the hustle and bustle, you know how things are. But her poem is beautifully written. It just states such a loving tribute to her mate, you know. But let me get her some comments. AP.
Well, see, it was always my job to get A, the shopping, and B, to do all the cooking in my former relationship, Linda. And so I did that for 20-odd years. And occasionally I'd get myself organized and do breakfast in bed, and it was much appreciated. So I think it's a lovely poem. I love the imagery.
Right on. Carmine.
Well, I tell you right now, Heavenly Angel wrote a very warm, charming act of endearing love. And I could see she most appreciates it. The husband showed his appreciation for her love and also for her self-sacrifice. And all of these little things become memories that are cushions as you get older, and something to brag about. I really loved it, and I appreciated her honesty and her endearment in respect to her life with her husband and the love that they share.
Right on, Carmine. Yeah, you know, what I love about her poetry is it's so full of love, and the romanticism overflows the page. I mean, her stuff is so romantic that she should be writing novels. But great job. Great job. And I think, we got anybody else? Did I miss?
I think we've got Deborah Lee, and then the only question is, did we want to read repeated Nap's poem because her phone dropped?
Oh, right, right. Let me see something. Let me take a look at something real quick.
Okay. I'm happy to put Deborah Lee's poem on the board and do that. Did she ask me to do it?
No, we did do Three Magic Souls. Yeah, we did repeated naps.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three Magic Souls.
We didn't do Deborah, did we? We didn't do Deborah Lee.
We didn't do Deborah's. I wasn't sure if she'd want us to read it or save it for a
yeah,
time
no,
when
she's happy
could
for
be
me to
here.
Print it.
Did she say read it?
She's got terrible. Yeah, she said read it.
Oh, okay. I could read it.
You can read. Well, absolutely
you put it up
you can.
There. I'll read it.
It's up there for you, Linda. Go for it.
Oh, okay. Let me go over to the other office so I can find my notes. Here we go. Pollution smog kills food for butterflies. Plant a bush to help. Nice title. Satellites freckle the horizon in ash white, chasing the sunball from the clouded sky. And smog shadows block flesh from light as rain poisons milkweeds, then a butterfly. Now toxins tint orange wings gray in flight, dehydrating laced wings as butterflies fly. Brittle pollinators plummet to the ground. Lightning strobes with thunder booms. Shriveled flowers and petals trickle down like dead potpourri with their perfume. Chemical kills the vegetation around town. Behind two almond eyes, darkness looms. The gardeners and neighbors plant seeds. Then dawn warms moist soil with the sun, sprouting fields filled with purple milkweeds. So this flight to save the butterflies begun. I thought this was a beautiful, not just written poem, but the meaning behind the poem, the drive that she had used to write this poem. Deb, beautiful message, strong and serious, and everyone should be aware of the stress on the monarch butterfly or any other species that is being affected. I think you wrote this with much love in your heart as well as compassion. It is things like this that get people aware of the tragedy. I know I saw a commercial about it once and sent away for the butterfly packet of seeds to plant. The milkweed didn't grow too well up in the desert, but I tried. Anyway, Deb, awesome awareness is the one thing that's needed, and you supplied that here with this lovely poem. My favorite part is the last verse, because it's the solution that is needed. And last verse reads, the gardeners and neighbors plant seeds, then dawn warms more soil with sun. Sprouting fields filled with purple milkweeds. So this fight to save the butterflies begun. And that's all it takes is planting some milkweed seeds because that is the monarch's favorite food. And it might be their only food. So plant them seeds and save the butterflies. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, I'll tell you, that was a very sensitive and intelligent work. Very impressive to yours truly. It showed her love for beautiful creatures being decimated by man's incessant greed. It shows also how science can help back to the problem that prevails. I thought, as you said, as you mentioned, her sensitivity toward life and the creatures and creation was very sentimental. She has empathy for what's going on, and she has a voice that cries out and says, "Hey, look what you're doing! Stop it! Here's what you need to do." Yes, sir, Deborah Lee, you did an excellent job again, and thank you so much for contributing that wonderful poem.
Right on. And AP, what did you think?
Well, I just was going to say to repeat Nap sort of did a bit of a practice on the board saying, oh gosh, I really stuffed up, and she really didn't. You did absolutely fine, and so we want to see you back next time, and hopefully without any phone problems, but... on Deb's piece, you know, Deb's got a personal connection to butterflies and always has, and she writes very powerfully about the plight of the butterflies, and it is a plight because there are fewer and fewer places for butterflies to congregate and gather in the United States, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to be out there actively helping them and giving them a home for future generations. So a really great ride.
Yeah, you know, and when I was in Idaho, the monarchs came through in the summertime, and there was this one spot on the highway where there would be thousands and millions of these butterflies falling down to the ground, and you could see their wings intermittently twitching up from the pavement. It was sad, but the millions that got through was a happy sight. And I want to tell Deb, I'm sorry you couldn't make it. I hope everything's all right. And we actually made it through another show with 15 poems read and still 4 minutes on the clock. So we did a really good job, and I want to thank everybody again for all your hard work. And I know you guys put your hearts into your poems, and it shows. And it comes out in my show and makes it a better deal. So thank you, everybody, for contributing. Thank you for AP and Carmine for hanging out with me until the bitter end. Have we got any more jokes? You got a joke, Carmine?
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. What was that again, my dear?
You got a joke?
Yeah, what's red and bad for your teeth? What's red and bad for your teeth?
I know this one. AP, do you know?
No, I don't. So you better tell me, Linda.
It's a brick.
That's a good one. Hey, what do you call
you
a man
hear
with
one more?
Eagle
this
on
is
his
terrible.
Head?
I want to hear one more. I'll tell you. Hey, what's the difference between an oral thermometer and the rectal thermometer?
Oh, Carmine.
Mostly to taste. Please forgive an old guy.
Okay, what do you call a man with a seagull on his head?
What? What do you call what?
A man with a seagull on it.
I don't
on his
know.
Head.
Oh.
Give it a shot, AP?
What do you call
a man with a seagull on his head? Cliff.
Don't know.
His name is Cliff.
Oh, okay. Hey, Linda, one more. What do you call a bee who can't make up his mind?
Maybe.
Ah!
Right on. AP, you got a joke to joke us out?
No, I've run out, Linda. No, I've run out. I'm out of jokes. I could get more.
Oh. Let me see. Why did the woman go on a date with the mushroom?
I don't know.
Ooh. No, don't know that one.
Mm-hmm. Do you know
hey,
AP?
Hey, Linda.
Wait.
No,
do
I
you
don't.
Know AP? Because
no.
He was a fun guy.
Ah, very nice.
Ah.
Like that.
Linda,
okay.
One more. Why did the football coach go to the bank?
I know.
What?
To get his quarterback.
Right on, girl. Right on.
See?
Oh,
right.
Sure, don't tell you.
Spot on.
Right on. Well, everybody, we got about 39 seconds. I love you all.
It's been a pleasure, Linda. Bless your heart.
Yeah,
and,
hasn't it?
Did a great job.
A lot of good poetry on tonight. I commend you guys. Makes me want to do this job. Sometimes I get a little frazzled, but by Showtime. I got it all worked out, and it's all fun.
Yep. It is.
3, 2, and 1, and we're out. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Good night, AP. Good night, Carl.